The love of truth. Well, the world says, I want to know the truth. And one guy, it was in a movie, and I think it was a Marine guy or something during the court-martial, and the guy kept, I want to know the truth, I want to know the truth. And finally the guy said, you can't handle the truth. Well, can we? Can we handle the truth? Even Pilate wanted to know what truth was, and Jesus said, well, Pilate, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So I want to suggest to you, as we've been looking a little bit about us, as the founding of this country, and how God has blessed this nation and the people in the nation, as he has blessed other nations. But America is unique. Not special, just unique. And we've been blessed with affluence, prosperity, liberty, and more importantly, freedom. We have enjoyed the blessings of Almighty God in a very unique way. And if you just casually review modern human history, you will see that the freedoms, the abundance, the liberties that we have enjoyed really and truly can't be understood. And we say, well, why? Why are we so blessed? We can't understand it unless we really come into a relationship with the Lord through his Son Christ. So it does seem to me that any other explanation falls short, and it would be filled with enormous hubris. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. So we truly are one nation under God. It's on our money. It's on the things that we say and talk about. One nation under God. And what makes it more remarkable, we are made up of a lot of different ethnics. Now, I don't know how many different races there are in the world. There's a whole bunch. And we probably have a representation probably from most of the cultures of the world here in what we call the United States. Most of them came to this nation with very little, but the blessings of God and seeking freedom, the gift of freedom and liberty. That's why we have experienced an abundance of opportunities for ourselves, for our children, that are unparalleled on planet Earth today. That's not just pounding our chest and celebrating our joys and pride that we have in America. Exceptionalism, as they call it. Because we are exceptional, but based on our form of government and the people and the way we handle things and the liberties. But I want to be clear about something. God is not an American. I hope you know that. Although we love being an American, God is the God of all the peoples of all the earth. He does not love us uniquely. And I'm quite convinced that if the church in America, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, not Bethel or our denomination, if the church in America isn't awakened soon with an attitude of humility and repentance, then I think we will see the judgment of God. You can find some of these judgments in the Old Testament. You can find, I've been thinking a lot about Job lately. But I think, and I love the buts, I sound like a motorboat, but. I know that we have lived for decades now imagining ourselves both physically and corporately invincible. And it's a myth. It's a deception. We have flaunted the goodness of God with our pride and with our arrogance, and we have taken the grace of God and the mercy of God, and we traded it in for wickedness and immorality and selfishness and greed. Now, I'm not talking about beyond the church. I'm also talking about within the church. Again, I'm not talking about Bethel. I'm not talking about our denomination, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have treated the goodness of God in a very casual way, and I'm just as guilty. We have been consumed with comfort, convenience, But it's not a unique story in history. The people of God had often walked away from him in the midst of his blessings. The beauty of the invitation of Scripture is that if we will humble ourselves and repent, God will be merciful to us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we looked at that scripture last week. And we have seen some displays of arrogance that are really stunning to me, and the response of the church has been underwhelming at least, because sometimes people, well, the truth hurts. Well, the only time, this is Ralphieism, the only time the truth really hurts is when you're not in harmony with the truth. So if we're not in harmony with the one that said, I am the truth, then we got a problem, individually and corporately. So the objective of what I've been trying to put together, not to be arrogant or political or anything else, just as we as individuals, and that's all. I can't convince you of any way I think, and I wouldn't want to do that because my old father-in-law told me if you convince a person against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still, because we're all responsible for making our own decisions, and especially when it comes to salvation. So, I got out of the judging business a long time ago, and I leave it to the one who knows how to judge, and the one who is filled with grace and goodness and forgiveness. So, the objective of what I've been trying to do these last couple of weeks is to highlight the significance of the love of truth. And it's all that you can take away, and I trust that God's message, Scripture is full of stuff. Paul was an exceptional apostle. And he had a lot of good things to say. And in 2 Thessalonians, he wrote this. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. Well, I think that is a description of the Antichrist. Anybody who is not for Christ is Antichrist. We don't know who the Antichrist that Book of Revelation talked about. Has he been revealed yet? We don't know. But anybody that is against Christ is an Antichrist. And we'll talk a little bit more about that during some other times as we get together. And I hope you're not being bored, and I'm hoping that you get something out of it. But sometimes when I prepare these things and I say, Lord, I don't know if anybody else is getting anything out of this, but I done preached myself happy. And I hope, because it's the blessing that we have, the hope that we have in Christ. But not everything that is supernatural is authentic. Look at what's going on with this thing called artificial intelligence. They got concerts of people that were dead. They now bring them back with artificial intelligence, and you can see their concert that was many years ago. Scary. So we have to look for an essential component to protect us against deception. That's one of the reasons I spent so much time on the Holy Spirit school. Because we are spirit. And sometimes we confuse it with our conscience. And if we're doing something we know we shouldn't be doing, there's something about it, the Holy Spirit will tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, you better think about that again. We have to fall in love with the Word of God. Jesus and his redemptive work, along with the person of the Holy Spirit, because he is a person, and he will be our partner. He'll walk with us. He'll talk with us all along life's merry way. The Word of God says that our favorite programming or our favorite sports or our favorite things and all of these distractions, and I'm just as guilty. I like watching football. I like watching NASCAR. I told Judy on the way over here with some of the things that we got some challenges next week. that I said, at least I think the Super Bowl, I'll be able to get distracted from thinking about what's going to happen Monday, Tuesday with some of these things that other people have to decide, not us. We already decided, but we're in the world, not of the world. But I like all that stuff. But I think a vain part of these, we should not let our imagination with casual intrusions from life to take the heart out of your energy. And we're glad to do all that stuff, and but it comes back down to personal responsibilities. Only Ralphie can do Ralphie stuff, and only you can do your stuff. Now, our story. I think we have to learn to love the truth, our story being Christ followers. We have to learn to love the truth, and it's not something that we do. It's more of a marathon than a sprint. Pat, how did you get to be 81? You know, it was one day at a time. I mean, and here we are. So life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We begin to shift sometimes the time and energy on distractions and entertainment, and we begin to invest in some of those things, and prayer and reading the Bible and fellowshipping with one another just sort of drifts away. We don't give discretionary time to people sometimes. And we have to understand how the world wants to destroy your faith. I don't know what the answer is to get this little church be filled back up again. Bethel is not the only little church that is low in attendance. Sometimes I think maybe it's the preacher, but then I don't know. But maybe sometimes it's the people, and I don't know that either. But the world is hurting out there. People need to come. They'll spend $180 an hour to sit on a couch and let somebody tell them about all the things when the answer is here, right here, fellowshipping with one another. It's an amazing thing. We have Jesus. I love that song. Jesus is the answer. So don't give your discretionary time to people that want to destroy your faith. It's a healthy thing to be able to fellowship with one another and to come and encourage one another. We have a biblical mandate to encourage one another. Jesus gave us some very good advice on how to prepare for the day and time that we live in. Earlier in chapter 24, verses 4 and 5 and 10 and 11, Jesus warns us against deception. And there's a high degree of probability that we either already been deceived at one time in our life or we're extraordinarily vulnerable. This is what he said. Watch out that no person deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Not a few, but many. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. That's some strong language. I have a book that somebody put together, The Hard Sayings of Jesus. And if you read the Bible, you'll know Jesus says some things that are pretty hard to get a hold of. But he was telling the truth. The language suggests that a lot of people are succumbing to deception and believing things that are false. I like what the scripture said. Jesus said to test the spirit and make sure it's of me. Not everybody that comes and says, Lord, Lord, do I know? We need to check. I want to be accountable. Don't take anything that I tell you as gospel. You need to check it out for yourself. Sometimes we call it gossip, and gossip is really sometimes is bad. But all I ever want to do is give you the information, like my professor that told me when we were going to study the Book of Discipline. I expect you to know this book from cover to cover. As brothers and sisters in Christ, I expect all of us to know this book from cover to cover. No, we don't have to memorize it. But we run into a problem in life. We need to know where to find it. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So, there'll be a turning away from the truth and an apostasy in the end of the age, that's for sure. And it's happened in the American church, not necessarily just our denomination, but in the American church in an unimaginable way. At the highest levels of organizations, from the finest and the most celebrated seminaries, we have some teaching that goes on in some of them seminaries that have drifted so far away from the training Christians has gone. And I mentioned all of those colleges that are now woke colleges, where 90% of them were founded by a church, either the Presbyterians, a Methodist, or a Baptist, and you would never recognize them now. The divinity of Christ needs to be celebrated. The redemptive work of Jesus is looked sometimes, people doubt the virgin birth or this or that. Some of these deceptions are really challenging. But it's clear from the prophetic scriptures that as we approach the end of the age, not the end of the world, but the end of the age of grace, we're still under grace, thanks be to God. And I think we need to prepare ourselves to know the difference. And if we aren't prepared to know the difference, we're subject to being deceived. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he's talking for himself, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ." That's a startling statement from the Apostle Paul. And I think the Christ followers, as we like to call ourselves, or Christians, professional Christians even, is the call to lay down our lives. And Jesus said, "No man can be my disciple unless you take up your cross and follow me daily." We don't just take up a cross when we make a profession of faith. It's a lifestyle. Saying to our carnal and earthly self, because we do say that, yes to the Spirit of God as we grow up in the Lord. None of us come into this world with an owner's manual. Mom and Dad had to learn how to raise us to the best of their ability. But as we got older, God provided an owner's manual. We didn't even have a influence on what our name was going to be, except our last name. That was, kind of come with it. But the American Christendom has become like somebody shopping for a restaurant. Check out the music, check out the preacher, check out the this or that. And just like a restaurant, we go to a restaurant and we think, "Oh, that's pretty good, that's pretty good." Next thing you know, another restaurant opened down. "Ooh, they got better food," and we hop on down there. People are not secure in their home church anymore. Families. My daughter, as good of a Christian as she is, her and her husband's quit going to church. I wish they would get back in church, but they don't. They're just whatever. And children's children and families. Years ago, that was one of the strengths of the family church, is when the strong family parents would go on, the children would pick up the slack in the church, and the church would go on. Thank God that's happened a lot, and that's why the churches are still here. Well, we have a favorite restaurant for a season. Well, we have a favorite church for a while, I guess. I don't know. There's something new or something better, and like expressions of worship, we have treated the body of Christ in our own place of the body of Christ with extraordinary casualness. We watch professional athletes and we look up to them. They're role models, and they should be, but guess what? Fellow believers should be a role model, testifying to things that's going on and how we can look up to one another